Come out to Dillon Brothers Harley-Davidson and experience the power of the new Milwaukee 8 engine. Just a few minutes on a 2017 touring bike is all it takes. Book your test ride today. Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on, let's
ride. This is Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
I think Wisconsin is the favorite in my eyes and a lot of people's estimation as well. So to me, the conversation begins there. You go look it up. Wisconsin's schedule is pretty darn manageable. I see six pretty much like take it to the bank wins. Utah State at home, Florida Atlantic at home, Purdue at home, Maryland at home, at Illinois, at Indiana. They would need to go 3-3 in these six games to get to 9 wins and get above that 8 threshold for this question mark. They're at BYU, tough game. At Nebraska, tough game. At Minnesota, don't quite know what to make of the Gophers, but that's no layup. You're not going to go to Minnesota and just pound them. Then you got Northwestern at home, going to be a tough one. Iowa, and then you got Michigan at home. Harbaugh and the boys coming to Madison. That's going to be a tough game. Do I think Wisconsin can win 3 of those games? I lean yes. I think they can.
Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, Game Time with Nick Baugh.
I think Khyree Thomas will be the best two-way player in the Big East. I think he's going to win the Big East Defensive Player of the Year again. And I think you could even argue that he's going to be one of the best 3 to 5 best two-way players in the country. But here's the thing, where we talk about being selected as a first-team all-conference guy. Here's the thing you got to think about. It feels like Marcus Foster, because of his reputation and history, is a guaranteed lock for first team. Because he was first team last year, and he's going to put up big numbers against scoring the ball. And he's a senior. I think Foster's darn near a lock at first team. So the question becomes, could Creighton realistically get two guys on the first team? And both of them are pretty much the same position. Wings. Tough.
Only on 1620 The Zone. 1620thezone.com and the 1620 The Zone app.
Brian Curtis, editor-at-large, ringer.com.
I could understand saying, let's not try to be ESPN.com.
Right.
Let's buy the thing, right? Maybe we can have, you know, like one 28-year-old with octopus arms who's reacting to every single story of the day. And maybe we have Bruce Feldman's College Football Notes column and Rosenthal's Notes column and Bruce's podcast, right? Like, I would have picked like 5 or 6 things. It just seems to me a little extreme to say, we want Bruce Feldman as a sideline reporter, but we don't want him as a writer or a podcast.
Right.
We literally are picking one, and you think, well, why would you want the whole guy? Like, he's going to do it anyway. Why would you just want the one thing? That confuses me.
You're listening to Game Time with Nick Baugh.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yes.
47.
Hey.
Final hour here on a Friday. Been a good show. Brian Curtis stopped by. Had some fun with future headlines. If you missed any of our interviews this week, they're all on 1620thezone.com. I would say the one that is probably the most must-listen to would probably be Patrick Wu. Caught up with him 2 days ago, scouting director for the Senior Bowl, and he had some really positive things to say about Tanner Lee, saying that Tanner Lee could potentially, you know, if he performs how he's capable of performing, could have a decision to make at the end of the year and whether or not he wants to enter the NFL draft. So some really high praise from Patrick Wu. Go check out that interview on our podcast, 1620thezone.com. Matt Schick in about 10 minutes. Speaking of high praise, saw this. So Brandon Huffman, he is the scouting director for scout.com, obviously a college football, college basketball recruiting website. And he did a little write-up on a lot of the nation's top prospects for college football, the class of 2018. And for his top defensive back, he, of course, pegged Bukie Radley-Hiles as the guy, but he also expanded with some other very positive things to say about Bukie. Here's what he said about Bukie. He said, Radley-Hiles may be the best pure football player in this class, regardless of position, regardless of upside. Right now, if you're starting a defense for a high school team, he's one you pick very early. Radley-Hiles may not have the length of other defensive backs or speed of some, but he has the all-around game that makes him a pain for opposing receivers and quarterbacks. Radley-Hiles has terrific closing speed and some of the best ball skills we've seen from a defensive back in the past few years. Expect the Nebraska pledge to make an early impact for the Huskers, but before that, he'll be a part of a salty IMG defense. So the big juicy part of that is you have the head scouting director for Scout.com saying Buki may be the best pure football player in the class of 2018. And you see that and go, wow, that is pretty exciting, pretty high praise. You know, something tells me that this guy is going to be a five-star when it's all said and done with how he's played here in some of these different camps in the offseason and what he does in his season for his senior year. But that's pretty cool. So some high praise for Nebraska commit Buki getting some love. Let me switch gears to this. I saw this story, and I thought it was interesting. So the headline, collaborative replay spreading in college football. And the ACC and SEC began that last year, where you're having all replays will be reviewed in a conference central location. And a lot of different conferences are following suit this year, where all the replays are going to go to a centralized location, they look at it, boom. And the SEC coordinator of officials, Steve Shaw, had this to say and thoughts on the centralized replay and all that. He said, quote, the technology has grown and the expectations have grown. The reviewability of plays have grown, and now replay is a critical component of the officiating crew. The collaborative process is just a natural evolution. Our first year, when what we saw was a significant improvement, so therefore it's something we feel adds value to the game, and we intend to continue it. Now, the Big Ten has been kind of dragging their feet on this, been a little bit more hesitant. Reading from the story on ESPN.com, it says the coordinators of officials, Bill Carollo, lists a few reasons that he and the league have been hesitant to adopt a command center model. For one, he believes in the collaboration between head referee and replay officials on site. Carollo also oversees the officials in the MAC, and they plan on expanding this type of collaborative replay for 2017. He says building out a command center is costly, and Carollo worries about the perception surrounding replay decisions that ultimately discussed inside a league office. That is not to say Carollo is against the idea entirely. Last year, he had replay officials assigned to one game per week and put them in a secluded area in the conference office just to see how they would handle it if they were involved. So, interesting stuff. I can go kind of either way on this. I like the spirit of the idea of kind of having the same set of eyes looking at replays to create consistency for how people are viewing it. Because that's what you hear all the time from coaches, players, in terms of what they want from the officials. Consistency. But I will say that whatever needs to be done to get it done, to get it right in games, but also get it fast, I'm all for. In general, and I've long said this, I don't understand why certain replays take as long as they do. It's brutal. I mean, I want to get calls right. I do. But if looking at a fumble from nine different angles for 5 minutes is stupid to me. Like, I've always thought, and I believe this, you should put 90 seconds on the clock. From the first time you start reviewing it, 90 seconds. The replay officials have a minute and a half to look at the play and determine the right call. Because if after 90 seconds, which is a pretty long time, if after 90 seconds you get multiple angles, super slow-mo, zoom-ins, if after 90 seconds you still don't know, the play stands, okay? The play stands. Let's keep the game moving. Let's go. Let's move. I just think sports in general, I've said this, mainly football and basketball, they need to continue to look at making sure the games maintain a good fast flow and pace. Obviously, you want to make sure you're getting the calls done right. But also, don't take an eternity to replay review a million different plays. I can't stand how often we go to the monitor in basketball. I can't stand how often we review plays and how long it takes in football. Like, let's keep the pace of the game up, get the calls done right. It's not that hard.
See, and not only does it ruin a lot of the flow of these games, but in some situations, it also, like, ruins really cool moments. Like, remember the national title game?
Right, right.
When Clemson gets that touchdown, 1 second on the clock. They squib kick it on the ensuing kickoff,
right.
And they recover it. And instead of like that being the joyous moment, Clemson is the national champions, they went to the over to the hood and reviewed the play, a play that was relatively meaningless.
Right.
I know it's, and I just think some of these replays, they literally should take like 5 seconds. Because sometimes you just see one replay and you're like, okay, yeah, that's a catch. Or yeah, he's it. Like, was the player in bounds? Look at one replay, clearly is in, done. Like, I don't know why things have to take so long. Like, I just think college football games, more so than any other sport not named baseball, does have a pace of play problem. Because between TV timeouts and all these reviews and replays, these games can last damn near 4 hours. And I don't care what anybody says, that's too long. That is too long. So I'm for whatever increases pace and gets calls right. If that's a central replay center for conferences, knock yourself out. If not, don't do it. Whatever. But let's get it right. Let's get these calls done and replays done quickly, because I don't think they need to take as long as they do. And let's keep the game rolling. That's how I see it. 402-951-1620. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, Matt Schick, ESPNU, the man, the myth, the legend. It's a good way to wrap up the week of shows. We'll have some fun with Schick after the break.